Want to pop in here for a couple minutes? I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, you know, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
Holes, when talking about him, said he wants him to lean on his teammates in general.
That's what I'm saying.
But when the moment comes,
yep,
go ahead and be the special.
The special.
You're the special.
And we haven't been able to stop thinking about that around here.
What was that, Ken? Are you kidding me?
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
Coach, more about Notre Dame. What are the Irish going to do? You said they're going to do really good
this
year.
I think they could be undefeated.
The football gods were shining down on NIU.
Uh-oh.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. Uh-huh. It's only half past 12.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Coach Dave Wonstadt is here.
Hey, let me clean up this Notre Dame prediction.
Thank you. Okay.
Please. Right. Yeah, everybody please. Knows where I stand with Notre Dame because of my Miami convicts and Catholics. Everybody knows about when I was at Pitt, that was a rivalry game. As a player, I played them every year and coached them. I said they would go undefeated just to set them up.
Brilliant.
That was all just a scheme, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's great. You were playing chess.
I wanted him to hear my quote and get comfortable. That was the plan.
That was
and
really,
it worked. So I'm feeling, you know, it worked.
It was extremely well done.
Have you ever met Thomas Hammack?
No.
I went up there on Tuesday. I got to hang around the team a little bit. What a great man, great coach. I'm so happy for that program. It was cool getting to spend some time
with
him.
Yeah, and I didn't realize he had played there. He was part.
He was a running back there, coach, and then went back to coach the running backs. He coached running backs in the NFL even, and then went back because he wanted to be there. I think he was a running backs coach when, was it LaShawn Johnson? Maybe it doesn't go back quite that far. Maybe Garrett Wolfe.
He was James White, Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots. That was his running backs coach at Wisconsin. James White's now helping out on the staff a little bit because he's back in the area.
That's cool.
So it's really
cool. Yeah, but it's a guy who went back there and, like, you know what that's like. You played at Pitt, went back to Pitt as a coach. It's a special feeling.
100%. And, you know, it does is my mic on?
You're on. Sir. Okay. Big doggy's in the way.
You're good. Okay. You need to hear a little more
No, I'm good. I just wanted to make sure. You know.
Thanks. We got you.
Where's Tanny?
He's upstairs.
Tanny, you here?
Oh, thanks, Coach. I needed that one for my collection.
No,
but no one will ever play it because I'm always here.
I missed you. Okay.
I missed you, too.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about Thomas Hammack.
But I'll tell you what happened.
And then you at Pitt.
I'll tell you what happens, though.
Talk about a lot of things.
When I was on the staff at USC, and we met, it was our all new staff. And the chancellor wanted to meet with us.
For John Robinson at USC.
Yep. And the chancellor wanted to meet with us. So we all went down on the campus into the chancellor's office. And he told us about the history of the school and on and on and on. Okay. And then he gets up and he says, you know, good luck, gentlemen. And he starts walking to the door. So we all start getting up. And the vice chancellor kind of gives us a motion. Sit down, fellas. And as soon as he closed the door, he said, let me just make something real clear. There's a direct correlation between how many football games we win, how many students come to this school, and how many donations we get. Don't ever forget that.
Mm.
And the point was that in a positive way, I'm saying, scared the hell out of me, but in a positive way, that's what, you know, NIU's into. You know what I mean? I think it's going to help their enrollment.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the visibility, the interviews that the coach got and the players got, that's good. It's good for the school, whether they realize it or not.
They were ranked in the top 25 this week.
Yep.
You know, first time ever. I believe, did you say hello to the coach on Mullion Hall the other day?
I did. I never met. But, yeah, I was hanging out, and, you know, next thing you know, I was back on. Mitch squeezed me for another segment, you know?
We like to do that.
Oh, yeah. I love Mitch. Mitch is my guy. Yeah.
He's as much coach as we can in our lives.
Absolutely.
As much as we can possibly get there. Yeah, that Notre Dame quarterback, not real good. We'll talk a lot of Bears, but I think he's a problem.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. I mean, there were some rumors last year, and I never saw him play when he was at Duke. Before he got hurt, there was actually talk that this guy was going to be a first, second, or third round draft pick.
Yeah.
And, we sure as heck haven't seen it yet.
No. You know what's funny? The quarterback for NIU, Ethan Hampton, he's got kind of the Sam Hartman look.
Yes.
He's got the hair, and he's got the musts. He's got the facial hair. It was kind of funny. I saw him. I was like, that kind of looks like Sam Hartman.
Oh, wow.
And he's got he's got the look.
So how about this? So Thomas Hammack coached Michael the Burner Turner when he was at NIU. It's a hell of a running back tradition at that school. Cool. We just rattled off three who went to the NFL. So, yeah, but that's who Hammack coached when he was there. All right, Coach. Bears-Texans on Sunday night.
Yep.
It's starting to feel big, and we're getting pretty excited about it. And I made my pick today on the Scores website. I couldn't get all the way there for a Bears upset, but I think they're going to play well. I think the offense is going to take some strides. It's a big game for the Texans. Ruthie was talking about that. It's first Sunday night game in what?
5 years.
In five years.
Really?
For the Houston Texans. Bright lights on Sunday night. This is a team that isn't creeping up on anybody.
No.
The Texans. So we ask you first about that perspective when all of a sudden you are expected to be one of the better teams in the NFL.
Yeah, you're hunted, right? You're not doing the hunting. You are being hunted right now, and that's kind of where they're at, and you got to defend it. You know what? I kind of feel like you do. I think the Bears' defense, I mean, forget about what happened in the first half last week. I mean, the Bears' defense has been playing at a high level. They know what they're doing. The preseason was just easy for them, and we were scoring points in the preseason. And I really think that they went into that game last week, and they said, okay, that we're going to be scoring points on offense, and we'll do our deal. And all of a sudden, they look up, and, wow, we're getting hit in the mouth, and we're going backwards on offense. They got their minds correct, and they came back and played like they're capable of. With that being said, this is a good matchup, I think, for the Bears. I mean, the strength of that defense, in my opinion, is a secondary. And obviously, when you look at Nico Collins and you look at Steph Diggs and you look at Dell Tank, the wide receivers, and don't underestimate Schultz, their tight end, who they got from Dallas. Mm. You know, they've got four guys there that can catch the football and make plays. And I think that's a good – I think the Bears will cover these guys. I think we'll match up with them very well. And then we're going to get some pressure and we're going to get some rush. So I like the matchup of that perspective. Our defense versus their offense. I think it's strength on strength, and I like that.
C.J. Stroud threw five picks last year and all of last year, his whole entire rookie season.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson get one?
Yes, he can.
Okay.
Yeah, it won't be easy, but he can get one.
Stroud's good, man.
Stroud's good.
Yeah, he's 75% in his opening game, guys. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. 75%. I've had quarterbacks against no defense couldn't complete 75%. And this guy did it with a full pass rush.
I mean, they were playing. They were actually playing.
Yeah, they were actually playing. I mean, seriously.
Which quarterbacks did you have?
I'm not going to get into that. And you know the other thing that they
– I won't ask you about Jay Fiedler.
No, it wasn't Jay Fiedler. Jay Fiedler won 75% of his games when he played at the Dolphins. Don't underestimate – look at his record.
Just trying to trigger you.
You will trigger me on that one.
I know. His grandfather, by the way, Arthur Fiedler.
Yeah, I know. He was in the Boston Symphony.
He was the conductor of the Boston Pops.
Yes.
There's a statue of his grandfather, a really cool one, on the Esplanade there in Boston.
Okay, let's talk about C.J. Stroud.
I don't know. I think this Fiedler stuff is really going to beat Wojo. This is how we get ratings.
But here's the other thing that you guys need to look at and keep in mind that impressed me about the Texans in their opening game. 200 and plus yards running, 200 and plus yards passing. That is a balanced attack.
Yeah.
And Bobby Slowik, you know, does a great job. I mean, calling plays. His dad.
Yes.
His dad and I went to high school together.
I didn't know that.
Whoa.
His dad was my offensive coordinator here at the Bears. okay? And
Bob Slowick was your offensive coordinator here.
And Bobby, who's calling the plays down there. No, I brought him with me from Dallas.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
I didn't know you went to high school together.
Yeah, but he...
defensive coordinator.
What did I say?
He said offensive coordinator. Thank you, Jan.
Jan is here.
Jan wants to say with the correction. I was going to say something because Ron Turner, you know?
She listens to my radio shows, watches my TV shows, and she is the most critical person of me. She doesn't, like, don't say that again. Don't repeat that. You know,
I love that.
I thought you meant tough on me. She's tough on me.
She takes notes. My husband takes notes.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
That's adorable.
I get a list of notes.
I thought you meant critical.
Harry, relax. Harry, relax. You don't have to worry about Ruth.
I thought you meant critical.
Get that challenge ready. We're going to need to challenge some plays this week, Harry.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
I thought you meant critical in terms of important person in your life, but you meant critical like she criticizes.
She's tough. Anyway.
Bob Slowick, Senior.
So, you know, he's going to be a head coach in the NFL here in the next couple of years. There's no question about that. But you know, there were some guys in their opening game against Indy. It wasn't that they beat people. There was guys wide open, and that's the thing that that I got to give them a lot of credit for. But let me – you want to know anything else about that?
I want to know everything else about everything. I want to know everything that you've got. But first I need to correct myself because NIU, of course, has been ranked previously in the top 25. I mean, they went to an Orange Bowl, for God's sake.
Right, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a misspeak on my part. Just, to, you know, I want to quiet the textures.
Okay. Well, they're good. You know what?
They're good. It's good.
That means that our people are listening to what we say. So.
I agree.
I got to start. We better start facts checking. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. The facts got to be right. All right. So look, we could. You know, while we're on Bobby Slowick.
Yes.
Okay. I want to get to a lot of Bears stuff about the Bears, but our guy Kurt Warner hipped us to the way that Bobby Slowick.
Yep.
Has taught C.J. Stroud, which he took from Kyle Shanahan,
yep.
using a lot of this kind of field reads for quarterback, meaning they read the defenders.
Yep.
Right? What is it, coverage reads? Is that the way Shane Waldron talked about it?
I think that's what
he said,
coverage reads.
Coverage reads. So you're reading a specific defender, and the timing of multiple routes is the same.
Yep.
As opposed to pure progression passing,
yep.
where the quarterback is going through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and expected to go across. And this has kind of informed our conversation all week long. It seems like Bobby Slowick Jr. and Kyle Shanahan, like that's a more quarterback-friendly way to teach a young quarterback. Do you have thoughts on this, which we've been percolating with all week long?
And you know what? There were two plays in the Bears games with Caleb, one with Keenan Allen and one with Adunze. The ball with Keenan Allen was behind him, and the ball, I think, with Odunze, the ball was in front of him, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Inaccurate throws.
The point was, it wasn't inaccurate. It was an incomplete pass, but with Keenan Allen, he comes inside, and he's running a little route, and he sees the linebacker moving his way. And this is all happening full speed. You got to picture this happening at game time speed. And what does he do? Rather than go in there and run into the linebacker, he chokes his route down.
Mm.
And where does Caleb throws the ball in front of him?
Yeah.
Adunze, the ball was behind him. Adunze's coming across, and he feels the defender on the other side and starts slowing down a little bit. And Caleb throws the ball on the other side. That, to me, is not – yeah, it's incomplete pass in the books. I get that. No, but I think it's not inaccurate pass, okay? And that just – and they the more they work together, how do you think Wes Welker and who was the other little receiver up there?
Edelman.
How do you think those guys caught 1,000 passes from Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Everything was option routes, and Tom knew if they were going to go one more step in – or they were going to stop, or they were going to break back two steps. And that's that kind of working together and being on the same page is invaluable. We're still...
It takes time. It
takes time. We're still going through that. You know, so both receivers are correct, and Caleb just, you know, they're just working through that.
So he was just hitting his spots that he thought that the plan was for them to go there, but before the defender came into play.
But Keenan Allen's not going to go there.
Right.
You know, it's like when we beat Notre Dame in the fourth. I had to get this in the fourth overtime, longest game in the history of Pitt and Notre Dame. We're in the fourth quarter, and we needed about 4 yards to get a field goal range. They missed their field goal, so a field goal would win it. Okay, and so I call a timeout, and LeSean McCoy, Shady's my quarterback or running back. I call him over, and I said, "Listen, we're going to run 36 power. You got to run that ball as hard as you can between the center and the right guard. It's probably going to be dirty in there. There's going to be people, but you got to run over them, and you got to get us 3 yards." And we're going to win this game. You got me. Yes, sir. We call 36 power. He takes 2 steps, and he starts running to the sideline to the left.
Starts breaking it outside.
He goes all the way outside, turns the corner. The safety comes up. He makes the safety miss, runs down to about the 10. They tackle him. We kick the field goal and win the game. So I grab him in the locker room afterwards. I said, "Shady, come here." I said, "What? Why did you run out there? What did I tell you on 36 power?" He said, "Coach, I ran out there because nobody was out there." And I went, "You know what? I just learned a valuable lesson."
Yeah.
So I'm going back to my point with Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen choked it down. Why didn't you run 3 more steps? Because there was a guy standing there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It does.
Of course.
So that's
great visual.
That's the Tom Brady. That's the whole thing of yes, they're running routes, but you don't necessarily know where the defense is exactly going to be, and you both got to make some adjustments when it's going game speed, and that's the key. It's easy to watch the tape and say, "Oh, yeah, right. look. Mm-hmm. But when that's happening full speed, it's a whole different story.
It sounds like what you're talking about is where the coaching stops and the player takes over, because that's what they see right there in front of you.
And you work on that. In other words, you start off where Keenan Allen's coming inside and somebody shows up like he did, and then he sits it down and Caleb sees it. Caleb's got to see the big picture there, you know, or it's the other way. The guy's squeezing him and he's supposed to come back and he moves away from him. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
you work on those things and he will.
So is it possible that a rookie quarterback, even one as empowered as Caleb Williams, is still not quite comfortable to take matters into his own hands and like
sure
and go away from what the coach is saying if that's the right thing to do on the field?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, he's still learning, and they got a system, and it took Troy Aikman his third year before it all started making sense to him, you know? So this kid is, and I said this on the morning show Tuesday, and I guess everybody went nuts on Twitter or whatever they were on, social media, saying, when I said, "This kid is going to be fine, back off him. We get, run the damn ball. Block somebody. Give this kid a chance." Got no chance last week. No chance.
What do you make, Coach, of all the batted down passes? Is that Caleb? Is it the protection?
You know what it is? It's not having a full speed rush in your face in OTAs and in preseason.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I use the phrase the speed of the game.
Yeah.
Here comes the rush. Boom. Here they come. Those guys are all 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". Hands in the air. You're not seeing
practice. NFL boy, yeah.
Not seeing that in practice. One, he's not seeing the guys get their hands up and try and hit it. And all you yell, the whole practice, I did it for 40 years, stay away from the quarterback. They start coming in practice, and what do? They move to the side, and they give them the easy throw. That ain't happening anymore.
Yeah, no, it isn't. And I wonder if, like, NFL guys, too, are so much better and smarter getting their hands up when they see the quarterback is going to throw.
You know, the all-time guy to knock down passes, maybe ever, was a guy that played for the Cowboys named Ed Too Tall Jones. Okay, I'm taking you back a little bit here.
Former boxer.
He was former boxer. Too Tall was 6. Jan, how? 6'9"?
6'7"? 6'8"?
Oh, no. 6'8". 6'8", 6'9".
I'll check my stats.
Yeah, yeah.
We got our statistician.
Jan Wanstead is checking the numbers.
Too Tall was up at Jimmy's. Remember, it was a Jimmy or Jerry's Hall of Fame. I was talking to him a couple years ago. But anyway, so Too Tall is on the team, and he's knocking down these damn passes.
Yeah.
And I said, "How do you do that? Teach me something."
6'9".
Thank you.
271.
Thank you.
Ed Too Tall Jones.
Sorry, Jan, I beat you to it.
She was going for it. Sorry, Jan. He'll have another thing he needs you to look up soon.
And what was I talking about?
You're talking about Ed Too Tall Jones blocking passes.
So I said, give me what, do you have a secret we do?
Yeah.
And he says, Coach, have you ever played volleyball? And I said, yes. On the beach, you know, in the backyard.
Sure.
And he says, that's all it is. These guys put their hands up and let the quarterback throw the ball between their hands. All I'm always thinking is spiking the ball. If the quarterback's looking right and his arm's coming to throw left, I'm going to go to where the ball's at. I don't care where he's looking. And, you know, as simple as that was, I mean, the guy made a living at it. And doomsday defense. I was trying to think in the back of my head what they called that Dallas defense.
Pretty damn good defense. Thomas Hollywood Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
Harvey Martin, Bob Lilly.
Yeah.
Who else?
Coach, I heard a story about Hollywood Henderson where he admitted it, I think, later on. In the Super Bowl, he added like an asthma inhaler with a mix of cocaine and water in the asthma inhaler so he could give himself a bump, and he had it in his uniform pants during the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Not surprising.
No,
right?
I mean, he's you know, he came by and talked to us. I used to bring a defensive ex-player in every Saturday morning, talk to our defense. In other words, the Randy Whites, you know, Harvey Martin, as I mentioned, guys.
And Thomas got clean
we brought Thomas in, came in one time, and you're right. He was doing a great job, and he was good with us. Yeah.
All
absolutely.
Right. But I just wanted to get confirmation.
Yeah, we
got to
talk on their defense when we get a chance. What are we, Shane, we got a break or anything coming up?
Coach, you're driving the show.
Right now?
You feel it. Yeah, you're in a rhythm. You know exactly what time it is. It's time to break. We got a lot more with Dave Wanstead.
Hey, Jan. Dave, call Dave Jansen. My phone's ringing. Just tell him I'm on the radio.
You know what? You and Jan, you guys can talk at the break.
Tell him to go on Odyssey.
That's our favorite time.
670.
Our favorite time is for you to talk to your wife or any of us to talk to our spouses is during a commercial break, which comes up now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we broke.
Not yet, sir. It's Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score. Stones with Dave Wanstead and Jan Wanstead and Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill and Rich Wyatt and, of course, Ruthie Polinsky. It's all part of the stew here on Spiegel & Company.
Hey, we're no bourbon today.
It's a tough one.
Oh, guess what? I got to read you. Did I send you that text from Aikman?
Aikman texted Wani, who then sent it to Shane about what? Aikman coming on?
He just said, hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Or Dave, happy to do the show whenever you want, and I'll get some beer sent your way beforehand.
Yeah, he said that last time too, Dave.
No,
yes,
I didn't.
He did. Yes, he did. Aikman did.
I never followed up well enough.
Oh, okay.
Not sure when the game is.
Pointing a thumb.
But circle back as we get closer. Look forward. Let's catch up.
Great.
Troy.
That's great. Beautiful.
Tell Jan hi.
The beer is good because I sent you the picture of the one that I got the other day.
Yeah.
It is good. It's good beer.
Yeah.
That's
good. We're going to be drinking some eight.
Right.
Eight is the beer. Aikman seems like he's in a good place in his life.
The Bradshaw bourbon is done. Dried up.
Thank God.
Yeah. What do you mean?
It wasn't good, Coach.
It wasn't.
That was the problem.
Are you serious?
We liked the rye a lot.
You want Terry to come on? You want me to call Terry and get him on your show or not?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Then you better say it was great bourbon when he comes on.
I thought it was delicious.
Thank you, Spig.
You got it.
Just
changed my tune in a heartbeat.
All right.
Coach Wanstead is here with us on 670 The Score.
Yeah,
all right,
he's just dumber than a box of rocks, isn't he?
I am.
You know, who Terry was talking about?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I know. He got in a little trouble for that.
Oh, remember he said he pulled his blinds down. His phone was buzzing. Everything on every social media thing he had after he said about Aaron Rodgers started blowing up.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Coach, Roma Dunzea did not practice today, a DNP today. We'll be surprised if he's active. Got to figure some stuff out here. Should Velus Jones be active for this team if he has no utility at all in the return game? He's just a gadget guy.
Keenan Allen also didn't practice today.
Okay, so both of them didn't practice.
Perfect. You know, both those guys, I'm going to guess, are not going to play.
Really? Okay? Both of them?
But you know what? This could be a good game. With Cole Kmet played, what, 26 plays?
How many,
26 plays last week? He needs to be in there. And this is a great week to have a little bit of help for our offensive line.
47% of the snaps for Cole Kmet. Yeah. You had the stat, Ruth. He only went out on 11
I think
patterns.
He ran like only nine routes or something. I'm not sure.
So, okay, forget about the passing game. Yeah. I'm just talking about protecting Caleb and giving him a chance to make a throw.
Yes.
You know, we're back. We got DJ Moore, obviously. I mean, he's going to be a player. Komet's going to be involved. You want to get Everett Moore.
Yep.
This would be a great opportunity. I think everybody realizes the quickest way to slow down a pass rush is to run the ball, right?
Yep.
So, you know,
you're thinking two tight ends, 12 personnel?
I'm thinking two tight ends. I'm thinking maybe get the fullback going a little bit this week. I'm thinking Herbert in there at tailback some. Get Roschon Johnson up for Velus this week.
Yeah.
I would get ready to start pounding that rock a little bit this week to set up some play-action passes. We can't have our quarterback second and 10, third and 8. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's no chance. And these guys coming this week, let me tell you something. Will Anderson Jr.?
Yes.
We know him from Alabama. And the best sign, maybe, arguably, one of the best signs in all free agent this year that no one's talking about is Danelle
Hunter
from the Minnesota Vikings. Mm. This guy is a pass rushing fool, and he will get after it. On national TV, you better hold on. Because so my point is, we're going to be needing a little bit of help. Those extra tight ends would come in handy this week. I don't care on how many passes, Ruthie, but we're going to need some help blocking.
So trouble on the edges could be brewing. The Bears' tackles may be stronger than the interior, we think, but yep. Get some help with the edges. I like your Roschon Johnson point. I've made it a couple times today. That they like that guy in pass protection.
Yes.
You know, we saw him a lot last year. I know it wasn't Waldron, but we saw Roschon a lot on third downs, and I was like, boy, he's not a game breaker, but then the answer was we like him as a pass protection guy. I mean, whether they run stunts or whatever, they're going to attack the middle of that offensive line after seeing what the Titans did last week, right? You need a running back who can step up and get a block.
Yeah, Mario Edwards was their big guy. I think he had one of their defensive tackles for Houston. He had, I think, three or four or five tackles. He had a sack. I mean, he's a playmaker inside. He's an athletic guy inside that we're going to have to deal with. And yeah, so I think it all the whole thing this week is about our offensive line, our blocking. I'll quit saying offensive line. The blocking of our people up front to get our running game going, which will tie into protecting Caleb.
Coach, are you concerned about the lack of – if Keenan and Rome don't play, are you concerned about moving the ball? Because I know you want to establish the run, but you still got to throw it every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. No, and we'll throw it. You know, the play-action passes, God bless DJ, you know, get ready. Right? I mean, here it comes.
God bless DJ.
God, if there's no
Well,
Rome,
what did you say to me before we came on the air? It's DJ and Cole. It's what we had last year.
Yep, I said, here we go. But, no, you know.
And Swift.
So we got Swift.
And Swift.
Swift might be a guy that they put in a slot and throw him the ball. The guy can catch as good as a receiver. And I think that's his comfort zone. His comfort zone is obviously catching the ball. So, I mean, they'll find ways to use him a little bit.
Wow, that's interesting to think about DeAndre Swift in the slot. Like, because all of us, if there's no Rome and there's no Keenan, we've been, like, talking about how drunk and we are with wide receivers all offseason.
Isn't that crazy?
All of a sudden, with those two out, I'm like, wait a minute, DeAndre Carter's getting a lot of run at wide receiver.
Tyler Scott.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of Tyler
Scott. Yeah, he's going to start earning
his scholarship. I'd like to see him going because, man, that speed is special, and we've seen it in training camp and highlights. And I said yesterday on the show, Coach, that was one of the receivers that I felt like Caleb had the most chemistry with during training camp. It's like, let's throw him out there and
good point.
And see if we can get that cooking.
Yes, he needs – it's time for our man – Scott to start earning his scholarship. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, a name that we haven't mentioned yet this week on this show is their highly drafted lockdown cover corner, Derek Stingley Jr.
Yes.
So it's crazy. It's the grandson of Daryl Stingley.
Yes.
And some of us of a certain age. If you remember Ed Too Tall Jones,
yep.
Then you remember Daryl Stingley.
New England Patriots, absolutely.
Yeah, and Jack Tatum immobilizing him for the rest of his life on a Monday night game.
You're right. He's a locked-on corner, and guess what? Their second-round pick and their third-round pick are both draft picks this year.
Rookies
this year, and they're starting for him. The safety in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was
go after him.
That was an area that they obviously had some concern on, and Stingley will probably be matched up
with DJ,
and that'll probably be the matchup, and then it's going to be you know, go from there. Who knows?
Can a rookie quarterback think about attacking those rookie corner and a rookie safety? Can you put that in a rookie quarterback's head?
I'll take it the other way. And I was talking this morning with who was I talking to? With
Jan Wanstead.
No, maybe it was
Ed Too Tall.
You had the event. This is your fourth job of the day.
Bobby Slowick Senior.
No, I think I was talking with Tony. What maybe
Tony Wise?
Tony, I think, and we were talking about Dion in Colorado. And I can remember North Turner saying to Troy Aikman, I don't care where you throw the ball, but wherever Dion's at, do not throw it to him. Even if Michael threatens to beat you up after the game. You know, Michael Irvin, he says, stay away from Dion. And Darrell Revis was that way. When I had Revis at Pitt, you know, everybody says, oh, how come he didn't have more interceptions? I said, because he ain't throwing the ball his way. You know, that's what happens with the great ones. So, yes, Caleb will get that. To answer your question, he'll know where our man Stingley's at, and he'll stay away from him.
So, do you have Dion in Dallas?
No, never.
You were gone. You were gone by then.
I was gone when Dion was there. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I started thinking about you guys talking about Dion in Colorado. It's a little bit of a mess right now.
Well, it is. You gotta get it going. You gotta regroup.
What about Michigan, Coach?
You know what? I am.
Go ahead. Sing the praises, Ruthie. You've been dying to.
Where'd you go to school, Ruthie?
Michigan.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait, I'm going tomorrow.
Oh, good.
I'm going to the game, Arkansas State. I decided, you know, Texas.
Wow.
Let them go. Going to see Arkansas State tomorrow.
You're
going to
take
big Michigan win
that's
coming
a tough
our
matchup.
Way.
You're
going
to use gas to go see Arkansas State, Michigan. God bless you.
It's for the tailgating, Coach.
Okay.
It's for the friends, the girls.
I can't believe that Michigan, I mean, the quarterback that's starting for him now, help me out. What's his name? He has been a
not JJ McCarthy.
No, he's been a 4-year walk on for him.
Drew Henson.
Yes. No.
And this kid's a great kid, a good player. But all the talk was that they were going to start the young kid Orgy, and then we get to the first game and they don't start him. But yet they were not
Davis Warren.
But they were not.
Did you say Orgy? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's his last name.
Is that
freshman.
True? Yeah. Shane, could you check on that, please, for me?
No. Wait. Can I finish my sentence?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I got distracted by the orgy at Michigan.
I'm trying to say something
concrete here,
okay? So they decide they're going to go with the young kid who's a great athlete, but at the end of the day, they don't do anything in the transfer portal with all the guys that moved around college football, and now we sit here and I'm concerned about the quarterback position.
Yeah.
All right.
I would be too. But, I mean, with the tailgating and the orgy and the everything, it's
enough.
It's just enough. I agree. That's why Dave Wanstead's going to make some picks.
Can I talk football here for a minute?
It's time for the Four Winds Forecast with Dave Wanstead.
Put your mouthpiece in, because here we go.
Presented by Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo and South Bend.
You know what? I'm going to start off with taking Bo Nix, Denver, +2. You're going to give me 2.5 points. I like Denver, okay? To beat the Steelers in Denver, okay? The next one, I'm going with another rookie, Jaden Daniels, Washington.
Wow.
I think that Washington, Dan Quinn's going to get them together this week, and I look for Washington to have a nice win. My third one, no one's going to like this one, but I'm taking Aaron Rodgers and Jets. Okay, -3.5. I just think that they were closer last week. They truly were. That defense with Salah and those guys, they are not going to play like they played against San Francisco. I mean, this Jets defense is one of the better defenses in the National Football League. We just saw Tennessee live right here. Who knows where their quarterback is, Will Levis, right now mentally. And I'll tell you what, the Jets defense is going to play big. Aaron Rodgers makes plays. The Jets win, and I'll give you 3.5 points.
Thank you, Coach. I tell you what,
That was the Four Winds Forecast every week with Dave Wanstead. Experience the excitement at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, and South Bend. With award-winning cuisine, the latest slots, a variety of table games, and luxurious hotels. Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
You're the best, Coach. I enjoyed seeing Aaron Rodgers struggle, but the truth is that he threw the ball pretty well. Like, it looked pretty good coming out of his hands.
Absolutely, he did. And, you know, his receivers are ready. They're up for the challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, Breece Hall, their running back, is a player. It was all on the defense. Defense didn't help him at all, and that's hard to believe with that Jets group that was a top five defense in the National Football League last year, that they gave up the plays they did to San Francisco. Looked like they were in mid-season form. Whoa.
Without Christian McCaffrey.
Without McCaffrey. Yeah. Whoa.
Coach,
that was impressive.
We've done a lot. We've said a lot. We've covered a lot of ground.
Hey, you know what C.J. Stroud has never done?
What?
Beat Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
She wants five.
Whoa.
Hey.
That's right.
Whoa.
Did you meet Big Dog, by the way? This is, do you know what Big Dog is?
Yes.
I gave him the backstory.
Yes.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Someone said you were going to throw him on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it doesn't do much for me. I'm being honest with you.
That's fair.
Maybe if Shane had some Bradshaw bourbon here, I might have a different opinion. But with a dry mouth here, I'm not.
You're just not a big fan.
I'm not impressed.
Did your girls have stuffed animals?
I don't know, Jen.
Jen, could you look that up? Yeah. All right, man. It's great to see you both. It's delightful that you walked over.
She walked up with me just to talk to you guys. I thought she was just taking a nice walk.
Get her a headset.
It's amazing. It's absolutely
now
amazing.
Now I'm going to NBC. You coming over there with me or are you
Hey,
done?
We're doing the show together on Sunday night.
Oh, perfect.
After the game on Sunday night, tune in, NBC 5.
Yep. We'll be there post-game.
Coach, me, Layla, Mike Berman from, a little shameless plug here.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
As you should.
It'll be fun.
Talking some Bears.
That's not a surprise.
Yep.
Coach, you're the best. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Didn't mean to bother you.
Coach Dave Wanstead is the king. There's a dog in the house, and not just a stuffed one. We'll explain next on The Score.
Not good, dog fans.
The Golden Retriever, his name is Ben. He's been on the road with us for the last 6 weeks. Working the sidelines tonight. There he was, 10 years old. Everybody loves this dog. There he was with Aaron Rodgers. Benny and the Jet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there.
Yeah, good call.
And he's paying us a visit in the booth here as the Jets go to work here. And that's Paul who gets stuck.
He don't know what to think of that banging that's coming up.
You've heard a three in the booth?
Yeah, there you go.
What do you think?
He's got a headset.
He's got the whole thing going on here. Eating my candy corn, doing the whole thing.
You know, here's the thing. Ben, the golden retriever that belongs to Kirk Herbstreit, seems like an absolutely beautiful and lovely dog.
A gem.
A gem. And Al Michaels, noted high-maintenance individual who has never eaten a vegetable in his life, was talking to Jimmy Traina from Sports Illustrated this week and said, you know what? I'm not an animal person. Kirk brought him last year. All of a sudden, I found myself in love with that dog. He's beautifully behaved. Kirk's able to bring him around. He doesn't even have him on a leash. I find him to be hysterical. So Al Michaels loves Ben the Golden Retriever. I did not have money on that. So
that warms my heart.
Doesn't it, though?
Dogs are the best.
There's a reason we're bringing this up. But first, listen to Kirk Herbstreit on the McAfee Show talking about the social media upheaval as people have been upset with the idea of Kirk bringing his dog to ball games.
People that don't like dogs.
Hey, there's two idiots and there's thousands of people
exactly
that love they
you,
like Ben more than anybody, you know, and you just had a little fun with a couple of the clowns that said it. But Ben was sprawled out in the booth. And of course you're working with Reese Davis. And Reese, I'm not lying, Reese is like moving himself out of the way as Ben's like stretched out. And I'm like, what are you doing?
God. So, but Reese is accommodating. He's doing what he can.
Yeah.
Shane Reardon has his dog at work today.
I do.
Willie is here.
We're outdoors.
We are outdoors.
We're outdoors. I would never bring her in the studio because Tanny's allergic.
Except you brought her to the meeting, though.
Well, okay. I had to go to the meeting, and I had to. I'm not going to skip the meeting.
What do you want him to do, Tanny?
And Tanny,
tie her up out here?
I spent a lot of time outside of the office for you because
you're so
I
considerate.
Had Willie. I am. I am considerate. Hey, I have Willie with me today.
Now, I will say that Willie turned around and faced the middle of the room at 1 o'clock when the meeting began like
knees
a professional.
In. I told him when we were walking
in
here.
Did nip at Speaks a little bit there
she
today.
Did
that
nip,
was good.
She barked.
Very proper.
She really did.
She didn't nip.
It was a bark and a nip. I was very excited
what
about something.
What were you clapping about?
I was clapping about a coaching decision that you had good information
about.
Boom, and I clapped, and Willie went, rawr!
Careful,
and came at me.
Yeah. She just to be clear, there was no bites. There was a bark. It startled her. She got up and she went over to you for a second.
No dog owner thinks theirs is a menace.
She's
you know
very
saying?
Protective
no,
of
she's
me.
Sweet.
She's been 95% good today.
97.
97. My back is turned. She's watching behind me. She doesn't like
she's
when people
been,
come
she's been
up
lovely.
Quick.
She's
you know,
been lovely.
She jumped. I will admit that.
And she has not gone after Big Dog, which was a concern.
Yeah. Big Dog is busy working.
Big Dog has a headset on all afternoon. This is true. But I was worried that, you know, the stuffed animal next to the actual dog was a possible recipe for disaster.
Oh, it for sure was. It's a good thing Big Dog stayed up there.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
up there.
Yeah. Willie would have.
Very busy.
Willie would have grown
Big
very
Big Dog had some
to
good
that.
Takes today. I mean.
Big Dog's been very strong.
Very strong.
Yeah.
Good debut.
Big Dog is coachable. You know, we sent Big Dog home with an idea. Think about what you think and come in with some takes. And Big Dog was loaded with takes.
Loaded.
Loaded.
Yeah.
We are out here at the Pru. This has been lovely to be outside, don't you think, Shane?
So I mean, beautiful.
I mean, like, the Pru as a whole has been a really cool building to work in. And you can go to theprulife.com to check out everything that's here. And this plaza that we're in is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and we love our partnership with Circa. We love going out to the sports book, to the pool, and doing our shows from out there. And Circa made this very possible today. You could have come out here and signed up for their app on site, and they had some sweaters and some hats, stuff like that to give you. But the best thing about Circa, especially the gambling app, is that it's built and it's managed by real people. Nobody likes when you place a bet on any of the other apps and something goes wrong and it's a draw or something like that, a push, and you don't get your money back and you got to deal with a chat bot. Everybody running the Circa app is there at the sportsbook. You're talking to real people. That's my favorite part. And you could still, on the Circa app, get Caleb Williams for Offensive Rookie of the Year at plus 180. I think that's a pretty good number.
Oh, that is
yeah,
a pretty good
it's
number.
A pretty good number. Plus 180 on the Circa
considering
app.
Considering the first. We're almost at the end of the show, Ruthie Polinsky. This is your last opportunity to make a pick on air that we could hold you accountable for
my
for the
first,
Sunday night game.
The most important thing I need to do is the Twitch mob feels, I think, underappreciated because we do the text line, but we haven't really been giving the Twitch peeps a lot of love.
I don't have a chance to look at the Twitch mob.
I have the Twitch mob
when,
here
when
in front
I'm
of
driving.
Me. I've been reading everything. I love, thank you. I just want to thank them. They're like so nice to me. I love the Twitch peeps. So I just wanted to give them some love. Everyone's being so nice. And I've had literally the best time sitting in and filling in the last 2 days and then also last week. Maybe you'll see me next week. Little guest appearance, perhaps. So, love you, Twitch. Love you, text line. Everyone's just been really, really nice, and I'm so grateful to be here. Truly,
that's awesome. Well, you're good at this, and it's been a joy to have you on Spiegel and Company. Thank you to Shane Reardon, who does a great job producing this show. Thank you to Rich Wyatt, who's absolutely crushed it all day with this broadcast, because that's what he does. Thank you to everybody from our promotions staff, who has done tremendous work all day long. Thank you to, you know, Mitch Rosen, Ryan Porth, everybody. But really, thank you most to Chris Tannehill, who is the adult in the room and deals with his dog allergy with
oh my God,
with
he spent
aplomb.
Like 5 minutes with her.
Yeah, well, that can be enough. That can be enough to close up your throat and cause serious health problems.
Okay.
Is he, hello?
He's
Tanny?
Still here. He's still here.
Tanny,
hey, how we doing? Yeah, I am here. Yeah. There's no dog in the room,
okay?
So I'm able to do my job. Yeah.
Thank you to Mark Grody, who was terrific on the show today. Thank you to the Prince of Chicago himself, Jarrett Payton. Thank you to Dave Wanstead.
Are you allergic to dogs?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I thought your throat was closing.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. No, that was just me getting emotional at the end of another episode of Spiegel & Company. Thank you to Jan Wanstead for classing up the place. And really, more than anything, thank you to, you know, for the professionalism, the stately and serene presence of Big Dog.
The round of applause.
Undisputed star of the show. You're the only one clapping. For Ruthie Polinsky, I am Matt Spiegel. This has been Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score.